To God be the glory. Good morning and welcome to Thursday's Family Day, which is also marriage counseling. Excuse me. I'm sorry about my voice. It's early in the morning. This is typically the time that we get up to do ministry and pray and everything. And I just want to thank you guys so much for your support of the Crafted Love Stories. It means a lot, and even just the marriage counseling portion itself, for those of you that are considering marriage, amen. And we want to make sure that you're adequately prepared to take on this role and to understand just what God requires, amen, in this role. And this morning, I want to entitle this brief segment, How Deep Is Your Love? Amen. And you know that we say the marriage vows, amen, to honor and to cherish, you know. And I just want to know how deep is your love? When the flowers start coming out, when the not so pretty things start coming out, are you willing to still stick by your spouse regardless? We're going to look at 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and just give a summary of it, because I know all of us have heard it in some way, shape, form, or fashion. We've seen it on wedding programs and different things like that. But do we even understand, amen, what it entails? And as we continue to grow with God, we are, you know what I'm saying, growing into this. So it isn't just an automatic thing that you just, you know, can conjure up on your own. But it's something that we are growing into. And that's the same way with Galatians, the 5th chapter, when it talks about the works of the flesh versus the fruit of the spirit. 9 attributes, but 1 fruit. And these things are cultivated over time as we continue walking with God. The Lord is pruning us and molding us and shaping us into the image of Jesus Christ. And you can look at Romans 8 chapter that talks about conformity to the image of Christ. It isn't just something that we can do on our own. But it takes, excuse me, I don't know what's going on. It takes the Holy Ghost. Excuse me. It takes the Holy Spirit working in us to allow the characteristics of the Lord to be formed in our lives. So marriage is something that definitely has to be worked at. Amen. You just can't look at the word of God and just say, well, I'm going to practice doing that. It's good to say that, you know, that you're making that declaration that I'm going to be righteous. I'm going to be holy. I'm going to be pure. I'm going to be blameless. Amen. When it comes to my marriage, I'm going to endeavor to do what's right when it concerns my marriage. But let us not say these things. Amen. Glory to God. Just, you know, basically to say them on our own. But let us say those things that with God. Amen. That I can do these things. And I understand in my own human nature that I'm going to fail. Amen. In one way, shape, form, or fashion, at some area of my life, in my marriage. And in the times that I fail, this is where God's grace is sufficient. I'm not going to wallow in, you know, my failures. Amen. With God's help, I'm going to seek to become better, to live up to the standard of what his word requires of me. So I'm going to read the English Standard Version of 1 Corinthians 13, and then we'll just talk about what it means. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I am nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. Hold on. Okay, it's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So I want you to focus, amen, on what love does. Amen. And I asked the question, how deep is your love? Amen. Being as though that scripture says it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So even believe it for the best, because you're coming into a marriage with two imperfect people. Amen. That seeks to be, amen, become better. Amen. In order to make the marriage work, we have to be, amen, willing to become better. And we can only become better with God's help. So love never ends. And as for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. And it's nothing wrong with having these things, because these things keeps us, amen, in connection with the Spirit. But they will have one day come to an end. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. So we're waiting, amen, hallelujah, at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. So therefore, when Christ is revealed, none of this, amen, glory to God, will have any more, amen, necessity. So when the perfect comes, amen, anything that is partial will pass away. Then Paul goes on to say, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. And to take upon marriage, amen, means that you, amen, are becoming a man. You're endeavoring to become a man. And therefore, amen, all the childish things, amen, glory to God. Hallelujah. My little childish ways, my little boyish ways, amen, things I used to do with the fella. The fellows, amen, glory to God, amen. All of that, amen, goes out of the window, because now I'm becoming a man. I'm taking on a greater responsibility. To take upon a wife is to take upon a great responsibility. Remember, we talked about he that finds a wife finding a good thing. And not only does he, amen, glory to God, find a good thing, but he obtains favor from the Lord. So when I, amen, became a man, I put away all the childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So much of 1 Corinthians 12 corrected misunderstandings about spiritual gifts among the Christians in Corinth. And apparently, some believe that those able to speak in tongues of prophecy were more spiritual than others. This may have created yet another reason for division in the church, along with jealousy or a sense of inferiority. And this is the same way today. You know, this is one of the key reasons why so many people in the church, amen, hallelujah, allow division and discord and disunity. Where people, amen, glory to God, are jealous, amen, are intimidated by others' gifts instead of, amen, honoring and valuing the gifts that they have been given, because all gifts work together. Amen. Even if you just have, amen, you know, a gift of prophecy, amen, or you may have several gifts and some person may have one. It doesn't matter. We still need each other, amen, in order for the gifts to work. So my little seven compared to your one, amen, it doesn't mean that, amen, I'm more holy than you, amen, that I'm greater than you, because I still need your one gift. and you may value, you know what I'm saying, benefit from my seven, and it may seem numerous, amen, but I still am lacking something, and that's your one gift, and I still need that. Regardless of the fact that I got seven spiritual gifts, I still need your one, and, else I'm still incomplete. So that, you know, 1 Corinthians 12 talks about, amen, many members but one body. So Paul insisted that every spiritual gift was given by God for a reason. It was essential to the church, the body of Christ. And he did urge them, though, to desire that the higher gifts of apostle, prophet, and teacher be given to the church. But he concluded by promising to show them a still more excellent way to serve each other. The words of this chapter have a different tone and rhythm than Paul's other writings in this letter. And chapter 14 seems to start where chapter 12 left off, leading some to think Paul inserted these words into his letter. It might have been something he had composed at another time or added before the message was sent. Paul began this chapter by describing just how useless even destructive spiritual gifts are when not applied from the standpoint of love. So, amen, without love, it doesn't have any value anyway. Displays of tongues, prophetic powers, and supernatural abilities. Amen. Spiritual knowledge may be impressive, but they are worthless if not used as intended by God. Amen. Out of a heart of love for him and other believers. And that's the same way in our marriage. Even the most spiritual of activities, selling everything to give to the poor, sacrificing one's life to be burned for the sake of others, gains a person nothing if not given in love. 1 Corinthians 13:1-3. Amen. And even in your marriage, amen, just giving gifts, amen, but not giving your time and giving your heart, amen, and giving your love, amen, it's useless. Because everybody likes to get a gift, but amen, if the love is not there, then it's just a gift, but there's no meaning behind it. So Paul describes the love he's talking about. It's not a love of swollen feelings that may come and go. It's not the love of flowery or eloquent words. This is God's love. From the Greek, agape, often described as unconditional love by Christians. Did you hear that? Unconditional love. In spite of. It is unconditional in the sense that it does not depend on the one being loved, but on the commitment of the one acting. So even if you don't get what you intend to get, amen, as a response, amen, you don't withhold the love. Paul uses 14 verbs, actions to describe this love. And 7 are positive statements about what love does, and the other 7 are negative statements about what love does not do. In all cases, true Christian love is about setting oneself aside for the good of other believers. And a lack of love was at the heart of nearly all the problems Paul had confronted in this letter. So Paul wanted them to understand that love is patient and kind. It actively waits and actively moves for the good of others. On the other hand, love doesn't envy or boast, not even regarding the spiritual gifts of oneself or others. Love is not arrogant, convinced of one's superiority over others. Love is not rude, meaning that it does not act indecently, sinning and breaking cultural norms to bring attention to oneself. Those who love like this have given up on seeking their own status and satisfaction first and foremost. Instead, they genuinely commit themselves to seeking good for other believers. Because of that, they don't get irritable or provoked when other people get in their way. The other people are the point, not the obstacle. And love also means truly letting go of past hurts instead of storing them up and keeping a record of wrongs. Love refuses to take any joy or pleasure from wrongdoing. Instead, it declares That was its true. It's worth celebrating above all. Sometimes, amen, you may have to clean the slate. Amen, want to start over again. And even in cleaning the slate and starting over again, it doesn't mean, amen, glory to God, that there won't be disappointments. Amen. But when we start again, amen, the whole goal of it all is that we started off on the wrong foot the other time that we tried to work at this. But now we're going to start out on the right path. And a lot of times we start off on the wrong foot without Christ. But when we put Christ in the equation, amen, we endeavor to do, amen, what's right. Amen, we seek to make it better. Not that it won't have its disappointments. But we don't want to keep a wrong, amen, glory to God, the records of what happened before. And bring that into the new. Because when we say new beginnings, amen, new beginnings mean just that. That means the old has passed away. Hallelujah. Love doesn't set limits on love. Love does not declare this far and no further. Love bears or puts up with all things for the good of other believers. That is true, even if that means loving from a greater distance to avoid the active abuse of others. Similarly, love believes all things, pushing the burden of truthfulness onto others instead of carrying the burden of uncovering falsehood. Love doesn't stop hoping for other believers to do good, no matter the evidence of the past. Love doesn't quit when the trials of life pile up. Love keeps on going. Paul sums it up. Love never fails. Christians may fail to love as the Corinthians have clearly demonstrated, but God's kind of love will always be effective, and unlike spiritual gifts, which will no longer be needed when Christ comes, love will last forever. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. On that day, Christians will know even as God knows us now. Until then, spiritual gifts provide a partial knowledge of what is to come, both now and then. Love will remain the greatest of all the virtues, 1 Corinthians 13:9-13. And when we're exercising our spiritual gifts in love, amen, guess what? It's painting a picture or a partial picture, amen, of what is to come when Christ comes. Amen. We have glory to God, a clear blueprint of what to expect when the perfect comes. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why we need to endeavor to paint the picture to the whole entire world, God's expectations of marriage. Because, amen, outside of Christ, you cannot paint this picture. No matter how much we try to do it, amen, outside of Christ. All these beautiful, elaborate weddings, amen. And why there's nothing wrong with that. When Christ is not a part of the equation, amen, then guess what? It's in vain. It takes Christ to build the house. And we don't want, amen, a missing element or missing ingredient. It's good to have a perfect wedding. Everything goes the way that you want it to go. But in marriage, everything is not going to go the way that you want it to go. And you have to be willing to accept the reality and accept responsibility for your actions and for your part. And even when you're not getting what you think you, amen, deserve from your partner, you need to understand having Christ in my life means that, amen, glory to God, amen, what I'm lacking, amen, I'm not going to look for it from my partner. I'm going to look for it from Christ, amen. And I'm still going to love my partner regardless of their imperfections. I'm going to love them through it. Just as I expect them to love me through mine. So how deep is your love? That's the question. Is it willing to endure all things and bear all things and believe all things and hoping in all things? It takes time. And it takes the mind of Christ. And a willingness to want to work at it. Or else it's going to be an accident before it even takes place. Because if I'm not endeavoring to love unconditionally, I may as well hang it up. Amen.